This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You're guaranteed to get everyday low prices on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store's price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's Pushing the Odds All-Star Break. Los Angeles has been excited for this for a while. They've got it. Tonight, you've got the Rising Stars competition. We'll talk to Jamal Murray coming up in the next segment from the Denver Nuggets. He's the reigning MVP of that game, but we go now to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Paul Flannery, SBNation.com, covering the NBA. Paul, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Matt?
Good to hear from you again. Good to talk to you. Let's start with the Cleveland Cavaliers and what they did at the trade deadline, because I think the trade deadline, or sorry, the All-Star break came at a bad time for them, because I think they want to keep going. They look like a totally, if not totally different, a much different team. How do you see the Cavaliers post-trade deadline now?
Oh, I'll go totally different. I'll let that ride. Yeah, I think they're totally different. I think everything they did was absolutely 100% necessary and valid, and they needed to do it, and it completely turned everything around. I caught them right after the deadline. I talked to people around there. They just said, you know, look, it had to be done, and it was like, you know, it's like we're starting over. We only got, like, whatever it is, 6-8 weeks left. Figure it out, but they're like, we're gonna figure this out. And to me, the second they made those trades, they were once again the favorites in the East. If they weren't already, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But
you're right.
I think that these trades, these moves that Kobe Altman pulled off, you know, they're the team right now, and I think it's gonna be really hard to beat them.
I was reading something, it might have been on SB Nation or somewhere, about the salary cap for next year, and if LeBron were to stay, the salary cap would, or the luxury tax, I should say, not salary cap, but the luxury tax would be so dramatic for Dan Gilbert. Do you think the Cavaliers did those deals anticipating LeBron leaving or staying, or hoping he stays?
I mean, they did those deals hoping he would stay. And I think if you have LeBron, you have to swallow hard and you have to make those sacrifices. And look, it's not my money. It's not your money. It's Dan Gilbert's
right.
Money. He can choose to spend it or not spend it. It doesn't bother me one way or another. But if you got LeBron, you know, you're going to have to pay up. And, I don't know if LeBron was leaving. If let's say they did nothing and they kind of coasted through and got knocked out in the second round, I don't know if that would have sealed his exit. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, now you've given yourself a fighting chance to get back to the finals. And look, anything can happen on that stage. So, yeah, I think these moves were done with the idea that here's a team that can build around LeBron. Or here's the flip side of this, Matt. Now they got young guys that they could say, okay,
yes,
if LeBron leaves, we're not a 13-win team again, because they don't
want
that.
Yeah, no, I think there was, I mean, what Kobe Altman did was unbelievable. It was incredible, and somebody said it was a decade of the year type stuff if he did it over 3 or 4 months, and he did it over one day.
Right.
So it's quite amazing. What do you think the storyline with LeBron in Los Angeles this week is going to be? Is it going to be all about politicking to get him to come to Los Angeles, or will folks kind of let him be a Cavalier for a while he's in town for now?
No, they're not going to let him be a Cavalier. I mean, yeah, no, it's going to be all about Los Angeles and LeBron. And, like, I mean, he'll brush it off like he always does. Or maybe he'll play into it. I don't know. He's really good at this. It's really hard to trip him up. It's really hard to kind of get him off kilter. If he wants to get in there and sort of, like, drop hints that he's coming or whatever, you know, people will run wild with it. He knows exactly what he's doing at all times. He's a master of these events. So, honestly, like, to me, like, my favorite time to talk to LeBron is during the finals, because then you get a real candid, thoughtful, and also you have space to ask these questions. And an all-star thing, if you've ever been here, Matt, I mean, it's like 1,000
chaos.
People screaming questions. It's an absurdity. So I have no idea how this is going to roll today, or tomorrow, actually. It used to be on Friday. Now it's on Saturday.
Right. Speaking of teams that are kind of needing the break, the Boston Celtics. Since coming back from London, they have looked both offensively and defensively like a team that's playing their youngsters too many minutes. How does Brad Stevens address the second half of the year, knowing his young guys might be burning out?
Well, they don't have a choice. I mean, that was the problem when Hayward got hurt. It allowed Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown an opportunity to play more minutes again, which everybody was happy about. But at the same time, now you got to do it through 82 games and a playoff and all that stuff. So this is natural. And Kyrie was out for a little while, which really hurts them because they can't score when he's not on the floor. It's really amazing. Yeah. And Marcus Smart being out for a while has hurt them. Even losing guys like Shane Larkin has hurt them. But, yeah, they're tired, and they need this All-Star break desperately. My sense with the Celtics, I'm around them a lot, is that they were playing above their weight, punching above their weight for most of the season, and they're coming back down to earth a little bit. I think they're about where they should have been. When they lost Hayward, nobody was talking about them winning 55, 60 games and being the top seed in the East. Yeah. They're talking about them being a middle-of-the-pack team, right? And so I think they're a little better than that, but I'm not sure they're that much better than that. And, I think they'll probably settle in. Honestly, it wouldn't shock me if they settled into like a 3 or even a 4 seed going into the playoffs. Wow. But they're pretty good game to game, so I think they'll be able to manage as we go down the stretch. A lot of road games for them. A lot of road games.
Are you surprised that Danny Ainge did not do something at the trade deadline and did not? I know they got Greg Monroe with the buyout from Phoenix, but are you surprised they didn't do anything?
No, not really. I mean, you got to ask yourself, you're playing with house money. Your day right now, right?
Right.
Because the guy they need is already on your team. It's Gordon Hayward. I mean, unless you could get a superstar somehow. But the guy you need is Gordon Hayward. And the guy you want down the road is Anthony Davis. So why would you spin off any kind of anything for like 2 months of Tyreek Evans? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, if teams were gonna drop down a little bit, they might have played ball, but no, I wasn't surprised at all. I was pretty sure they were going to stand pat. And look, if somebody comes open on the buyout market, I know they've had their eyes on Brook Lopez for a long time. I don't know if he's going to get bought out or not. But if he does, I would imagine they would make a roster move and try to bring him in because he's the guy that would really fit them better than Monroe.
Yeah, they need a rim protector for sure. And it's been a lot of fun to watch Kyrie this year, but defensively that they do need some help big time with that.
They need a shooter.
Yeah,
they need a big man shooter. That's really what they need. I mean, their defense is pretty good, even without like the quote unquote 7-footer in the middle rim protector. But they need a big man who can shoot because that's how their offense runs, and that's
right.
What Brook Lopez would give them.
Hmm. Paul Flannery, SB Nation, joining us. I'm curious. You brought up Anthony Davis, and we know that Boston's one of them for forever. You're for Boston. I'm from Boston. We know that there's been this in the ether for the last like 3 years. Anthony Davis potentially going to the Celtics. But what would it take for the Pelicans to actually get rid of him? Boogie Cousins is hurt for the year. What would it take in the offseason for them to swallow and say, yes, we're going to trade away our franchise player?
See, the problem you get when you're talking about Anthony Davis is that right now nobody knows. Nobody knows. Let's say the Pelicans collapse down the stretch and don't make the playoffs. My hunch is everybody gets fired.
Okay.
So now who's the GM? I don't know. And let's say they make the playoffs. Maybe the regime stays intact. They don't want to trade Anthony Davis. That would be silly on their part. So, a lot of things can change. What I've heard over the last, 6 to 12 months is that it won't be this summer. It'll be the summer after.
Okay.
Where Anthony Davis could potentially be in play. And so it's a long, long, long waiting game. But if you know Danny's old MO, I mean, he waited 5 years for Garnett. He tried to get Garnett for a half decade, and he finally got him. So he can wait.
Interesting. And while he's waiting, he's acquiring assets. Gordon Hayward gets healthy. They start doing different deals. They make the team even better, and they know they're going to have Kyrie Irving for a while. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess the long play would be interesting there. But where does Boogie Cousins go? Is he a guy who winds up with a big contract next year?
I have absolutely no idea. And, I mean, honestly, because this summer, guys are not going to get what they want. And it's going to be interesting because they're going to be looking around at guys who did get what they want a couple years ago and be like, I'm better than that guy. Why am I not getting anywhere near what he got? And because there's just not any money. So, with Boogie, I mean, there's a couple of ways this can go. New Orleans can say, okay, like, you're our guy and re-up him, which I think is probably what's going to happen. But let's say a team with cap space gets a little desperate and maybe doesn't get the things they want and they say, okay, Boogie, I mean, that could work. But I mean, I kind of think his market is going to be fairly limited. But I have a feeling New Orleans will probably pick it up, assuming they make the playoffs and everybody keeps their job.
Is that the same story for Isaiah Thomas when it comes to his free agency? That he's going to get a lot less than he thinks?
Yeah, he's going to get a lot less than he thinks, and that's unfortunate. I really like Isaiah. I was around him for a while. And I mean, I know he pops off and he rubs people the wrong way on occasion, but he's a good guy at heart. And No, look, this was his payday. He didn't get one years ago. He was a second round pick. He's been fighting for it forever. I don't know where he goes. I don't know where the money is for him. So it's gonna be unfortunate, I think.
He seems like a guy who's pretty upset with what's happened to his career. Fair?
I don't think he's upset. No, that's not right. I think that he's 5 foot whatever. Okay, whatever they want to listen to, that is fine. But he's sure he's 5 foot whatever, and he's had to work. He's had to earn everything he's ever had, all the way up from preps to everything else. He's got a chip on his shoulder. That's just who he is. That's just what he's all about. He's not mad. He's just, you know, give me the ball and get out of the way. That's just who he is, and that's what makes him great. That's what made him great last year. He was a top five MVP guy last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was a very specific circumstance, and I don't know if he can find that anywhere else in the league.
Yeah, that's a great point. Paul, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the festivities in Los Angeles this weekend.
All right, sounds good, Matt.
That is Paul Flannery. You can follow him on Twitter at PFlans. I've been following Paul for a long, long time. He's a guy who's done – he does a really good job. He's a really good writer. He's from the Boston area. He used to work at WEI, and I was there when he was there, and it's great to hear his voice again on the show. Always appreciate the time for him. And if you haven't read him before, I highly recommend doing that. You'll follow him on Twitter. Definitely do so. Senior writer at SB Nation. He knows Isaiah more than I do. He's interviewed him a ton. He's written a ton of stories on him with the Celtics. I think Isaiah is angrier than he's letting on. I'm going to go by gut instinct. I'm going to go by ticks in words and word formations in parsing of words and the things that Isaiah Thomas has said recently. I don't think he's a happy person. I think he's really mad. And I wouldn't blame him in the least. Top five MVP guy gets traded twice in 6 months. Brutal. That's brutal. Name me another top five NBA guy in the MVP voting that gets traded twice in 2 months in a year where you're going to be needing numbers for free agency. Oof. Next, continuing the NBA conversation, Jamal Murray, the Denver Nuggets. He'll play in the Mountain Dew Rising Stars Challenge. We'll get to that next. SB Nation Radio.